you had the richest man on the earth living inside your house, guess what? You will be short of nothing. If you have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords abiding in you, you could have immediate contact with him, instantaneously, even quicker than you can have with your good pastor. Are you with me? So this is how, this is why God is intrigued and he is so set on structure. So blueprint, the blueprint for a pattern for church, for your life, for our family. Yes, this is what God is wants. And once you set that, he will come and you place order according to his blueprint, then he will come with his glory and he lives inside of you. Amen. If you just had a glory, this is why we all have to unclutter our lives. Unclutter our lives. That's a good word. Unclutter. Things that are not significant, take it out. Drop it off in the ocean so that your boat can reach on the other side. Hallelujah. Okay, sometimes you're too loaded with so many stuff. Some of the stuff is not relating to your life and the advancements of your life, but you bring it into your life. I want you today just to unclutter yourself. There are things that are urgent, there are things that are important, and there are things that may be urgent and important. Well, we tend to them first. Prioritize the things that are urgent and important and place them on top of your list. Things that are important but can wait, put them third or fourth. Come on. Are you with me? These are important things. And let's go on talking about this. Put there for me Exodus 25:40. Exodus 25:40. And Exodus 25:40. Would you put that? This is how God thinks. And today we are continuing to speak on mountains. Okay. Why mountains? Why mountains? So 25:40. Moses, and God is speaking, see to it that you make the tabernacle and every part of the design that I've given you according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. It's shown unto you on the mountain. But before God speaks to him, this is what he says in Exodus 24:12. I just want to place this in perspective. Exodus 24:12. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. Wherever a mountain experience is created, that place becomes the mountain of God. Now Mount Sinai is where this whole thing is happening. We spoke about Mount Moriah last week, Mount Moriah. And we said that Mount Moriah, just to recap, Mount Moriah is the same mountain where Jesus was crucified, where the temple of Solomon was set up. Are you with me? So when we think about Mount Moriah first, Abraham said, me and the boy are going up to worship. So Mount Moriah for us is a place of true worship. Come up to the mountain. And God was present waiting for Abraham on the mountain. Because wherever you have an interaction with God, that place becomes the mountain, not of a man, but mountain of God. That's why people were not allowed to step close to the Mount Sinai, because God was on the mount. Anyone and any animal that came close to Mount Sinai, very close, they were killed. They were destroyed, because that place was reserved for God and what he wants to do. Be careful when you say, I want the presence of God. It means that you want God to enter where you are. And be careful that the place where you want God to interact with you is sanctified. Because God is a holy God, and you can't ask him to come into a place that is not sanctified. There are a whole lot of things happening there. You can't have a holy God coming to that place. Therefore, it is important for you to understand, God had to separate the valley from the mountain. the crowd from those that are meaning business with God. In fact, the entire congregation this morning should become people that are serious with God. God demands that all of us must upgrade. It starts with things that you can let go right now. Things that are going to hold you back. Things that are going to delay your move into maturity. Let go of those things. There may be some people in your life, some good friends, but good friends may not necessarily be God friends, godly friends. And if they are good friends, yes, they will be good friends. But if they do not contribute to your upliftment and your future and your breakthrough, please, I beg you, give them less priority. And so, Moses rose with his assistant and Moses went up to the mountain of God. We are serving a holy God. A holy God means that we must be holy to interact with him. God says he wants us to be perfect as he is perfect. Perfection is not without fault. Are you with me? Perfection in the Bible means maturity. God doesn't want us to anymore be children. That's why he says in the book of Hebrews, by now, all of you are supposed to become teachers and not sit to receive the word. How long are you going to say, teach me, teach me, teach me? By now, you should become teachers. Are you with me? But what is the problem? We still choose to stay in elementary stuff. And you know, elementary stuff is enjoyable. But when you go deeper, it demands more attention. You see, if you are in the shallow end of the sea, it doesn't need skill. It doesn't need, you can stand and talk to somebody while you're in the shallow end. But when you go deeper in the ocean, deeper, it needs skill. It needs concentration. It needs, well, and now I need to watch around me. All of those things are important. When you go deeper with God, it needs your intelligence. It needs your ability to recognize who he is, honor him, and quick to find out, discern where he is. Moses was a reformed murderer. He went into a spiritual reformatory because he murdered an Egyptian. But God still chose to use him. God still chose to use him and sent him into incarceration, the backside of the desert for 14 years, where he had to undo Egyptian culture. See, some things you have to undo. You have to empty yourself, unlearn some stuff. And you know something? When you're in the valley, abnormalities become normal. For example, a woman that has been beaten up all the time by her husband, you know what happens? She will be gone into her mother's home. But after a week, she's longing to go back to be beaten up, to be abused. Why? Because abnormalities become normal. Secondly, when you're in the valley, the only voice you hear is your own voice, echoing, bouncing back from the walls of those valleys. And so when you hear your own voice, sometimes it can become a very unreliable source of direction, especially if you've got a whole lot of mess inside and you're guided by the stuff that's inside of you, you're going to have a problem coming out, advancing. So what happened? The walls of that valley imprison you and that becomes your normal habitat. It's like my pool at home. If I don't clean it and I don't allow the waters to filter, after a month, just do nothing, the water goes green because the water is walled, as walls. But in an ocean, it has its self-cleansing way. You can go into an ocean because the water is open, there's no walls. That's why in a valley, you have walls. The mountains, the rocks, or the banks around a valley causes your voice to echo. And it speaks back to you. It's like your voice telling you what to do. And sometimes we blame the devil for things, yet our greatest enemy is ourselves. It forces us not to change. It forces us and tells us we are on the right track, yet we are not. But when we enter a mountain, the advantage of being on a mountain, there'll be others around us to guide us. We are not alone. We don't hear our own voice. We hear the voice of those that care for us. And we hear most of all, yes, the voice of God on a mountaintop. The most reliable voice. How many of you want to hear the voice of God? How many of you want to be guided by what God wants for your life? Come on. I don't know about you, but along my life, I'm 61 now. I can safely say that I messed up my life for at least 10 years by listening to my own voice. And you know what your own voice does? It takes one thought and it can build a whole story, a movie in your mind. One thought. I saw my wife speaking to or greeting someone, a male figure, who she knows. Your voice will tell you, point B, my wife's got something to do with this person. Point C, when does my wife see this person? Point D, can you see the story gets bigger by an innocent thought that's in your mind. That's why you got to get out of the valley as quick as possible. You got to get out of that place that you have built as an enclosure for yourself. It's a safe place for me. Sometimes a safe place for you could destroy you and those around you. And you know what? If I'm such a person, I'm going to indoctrinate my children to be as such. Because when they wake up in the morning, they hear me being negative. When they wake up at lunchtime, they hear this whole thing. Going to bed, they hear this. So they're being crafted by my lousy internal voice. I got to get delivered. Are you with me? Yeah. I got to get delivered. How? By mountain climbing. Yeah. Learning how to climb mountains. Get out of that valley, I pray in Jesus' name. So Moses, God could have spoke to Moses in the comfort of his home. God could have spoken in the tent. God could have spoken in the field. There was enough field for him to talk to Moses alone. But he said to Moses, come up to the mountain. Come up to the mountain. Why is mountain so important? Thank you. Why is mountain so important? What does it speak to us about? The spiritual significance. And I'm just starting. Speaks about divine inspiration. If you're taking notes, write this down. Divine inspiration. Mountains in the Bible, divine inspiration. Secondly, it speaks to me of pilgrimages that I must take. Pilgrimages of transcendence, moving from one place to another. God does not want us to stay at a one place. He has created within us the spirit of pilgrimage. In other words, we have to move from one point to another point. You can't stay. Let me tell you something. God does not stay in one place. God is always a God of movement. 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 And some of us, you see, you have an aerosol of a deodorant. You can spray it on you, and when you can leave the room, but another person walk in the room, they don't see you, but they can get the residual of that that's left in the room, of that fragrance, residual of that fragrance. Similar with you, God could be gone away, and what may be left is a residual of his presence, and we say, I've got the presence of God. No, God is always moving. If you don't move, you won't be where he is. You may catch the residual of his presence, but you may not be where he is currently. Therefore, you have to upgrade. Say upgrade. It's like a school. A child can't stay in grade one all the time and expect to go to university. A child always upgrades. Grade one, grade two, grade three. We also must upgrade. Upgrade by what? Continuously upgrading in our intake of the knowledge of the word of God. Because that's our diet. That's the food. Second, thirdly, a mountain speaks about the spiritual elevation of your life. Spiritual elevation. Going higher. Your elevation changes when we talk about a mountain. Don't they say, and I rightly like to endorse that, your attitude determines your altitude. Let me speak a little bit about positive attitude, negative attitude, as where you're going to. Let's extenuate, amplify this morning the whole aspect of your elevation. What elevation of life? Where are you? Is it a mountain elevation, or are you somewhere climbing up the mountain, or you're stuck in the valley of indecision, valley of, you know, valley where you don't know who you are, you've lost your identity, you have find yourself in a valley of being critical all the time, criticism. You thrive on criticizing others. And Jesus said in the book of Matthew, why do you look at the plank, the speck, the little dust point in your someone else's eye when you have a plank in your eyes? It's because your elevation is wrong. Your sight, you're either cockeyed or blind spiritually. And Jesus said this beautifully, how can the blind lead the blind? Let me bring that into practice. If parents that are training their children, because the responsibility according to the agenda and the blueprint of God, parents train up your children. If parents are blind, how can they train the children? What manual do they use to train the children? Isn't it important? So if you train your child to pray, you must be a good prayer warrior or someone who knows how to pray. Am I right? Just using a practical example. So let's go. Wow, time is far gone. So I want to look at this old aspect and we'll continue some other aspects. What are the universal symbols of mountains? It talks about the nearness of God. It talks about stability. I'm stable. Mountains are strong. It speaks about theophanies, the visitation of God in your life. Okay? It speaks about manifestations of God. It speaks about eternity. So certain patterns are eternal. For example, if I go to Genesis chapter 22, when Jacob had a vision after he was running away from his brother, he slept at Luz, I think, and at Luz, and he put a stone there, and he had a vision in Genesis 28. He had a vision of God speaking to him, and he saw a ladder in front of him ascending up to heaven. Okay, you can read that account, right? But there are certain things he saw in his dream, and one of that was God standing on the top of the ladder, and messengers of God going up, receiving from God patterns, bringing down and installing it on the earth. And then after having this vision, he said to himself, let me anoint the stone and I'll call this the house of God. Where? In the wilderness. Did he have instruments there? No. Did he have chairs there? No. Did he have air cons there? No. He didn't have all the fancy things we have today, but he called that the mountain of God, the house of God. A stone. Hallelujah. And there are certain principles were there in this story. And one of which, he said, because this is the house of God, 1/10 of all I have will be given as a tithe to God. There wasn't the appearance of the law, as somebody said then. This principle came from an eternal position, which means that it came from outside eternity. So these principles must be protracted in time, and they must be carried forward, because they did not come from a specific context like the law. It came from outside time. Every principle that comes from outside time must be perpetual and carried out throughout life. This was one of them. You can go read the account, okay? There's a few other things. The word gate appears there, and this is the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. He saw a stone, he anointed that. This is the gate of heaven. So the church should be the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. House of God. The house of God has to have tithing. 1/10 of everything belongs to God, from the sons of God. So all of these things are eternal patterns. And therefore it's required from us to apply these heavenly eternal patterns to our way of living. So on the more practical side, when we think of mountains, we think of mental strength to overcome the challenges being faced. Many of your battles will be won, not externally, but internally. Change the mind of somebody, you change the behavior of that person. Are you with me? Many of our problems are in our mind. Right now, your mind is active, very active. You are thinking of certain things in your mind. You are already planning this afternoon. So many things are running. There's a network of thoughts that are going through your mind right now. And some may be destructive thoughts. Some may be irrelevant thoughts. Let them go. Because we are a highly spiritually intoxicating environment right now. Your bags are open. You can't have mess in it. You got to have the right things. Are you with me? Going into the bag. So, also your personal transformation. When we think of mountains, we think of personal transformation. And of course, having the right mindset. So I want to take you to one case study right now. And I have two more, but just one more. I have 5 minutes. So I'll just read my notes so you'll catch this last bit of it. So as Israel approached the Jordan River, and you know they were 40 years where? In the wilderness, Moses sent out 12 spies to investigate the promised land. You all know that. One spy from each of the 12 tribes of Israel entered Canaan, explored the land, and returned with a report. All 12 had the same, and I want you to make notes of this, all 12 had the same external experiences, but the internal conclusions differed. All of us here have the same opportunities in life. All of us can break through the supernatural. All of us can hear the voice of God. All of us can become winners, wealthy, prosperous. We all have the same opportunities externally. But the point where we are differing from one another is internally. It's not on top. It's happening on the inside. I'm no good. I can't make it. Why is my sibling better than me? Why is my neighbor buying a new fridge? Why I can't make it? Why I must battle with a leaking tap? Why is this house here? Why is one room for six of us? We all internally draw ourselves to this place where we make personal conclusions. And that's where we place the flag, the red flag, and say, I'll stay in this place. This morning, get out of there. God has a better place for you. All of you have opportunities today. None of you can say you don't have an opportunity. And stop blaming your dad, your grandfather, your situation. Your victory lies within you. Some things you have to shake off. I will talk about the shaking off mentality next week. Jesus said, when you go into a city, if they don't take things, don't fight them. Just shake your feet off. Say, shake off. Some things you just have to shake it off. Shake it off. Let go of them. And start your journey of believing my victory starts inside of me. So, let me continue reading my notes. So, what are the similarities of all the 12? All 12 were leaders in their tribes. Secondly, all 12 spies received the same promise. All received the same promise. Thirdly, all 12 spies received the same opportunities. Now, each one I can elaborate, but not today. So where was the difference between the majority, which is 10 spies, and 2 spies were the minority? Sight. Oh, that's a big, big subject to talk. Because we are controlled by natural sight, and there's another window that we haven't opened. Imagine I'm 61 and I haven't opened my spiritual window to see spiritual opportunities, which are bigger than natural opportunities. You see, my natural sight sees situations before they see God. My spiritual eyes, when I open them, I see God first before I see situations. Can you gather that? Hallelujah. This is lovely. So the 10 said no. Number 2, they misunderstood their mission. And thirdly, they saw God in light of their circumstances. The 10 spies. But the 2, Joshua and Caleb, they didn't say no. They said go. Secondly, they understood their mission. And thirdly, they saw circumstances in the light of their God. I think I'll close right there. Leave you in midair so that you long to come the next time to continue. They see. See, every time you see your situation in the light of God, you feed it. It becomes bigger. Some of your problems 20 years ago was a dot. Today it became a boulder because you always saw your problems in the light of God. And you equate God, you brought him down and you fitted him in the size of your problem. Let me tell you something. There were giants in this. But the giants in the land were like midgets in the face of God. Those things that are intimidating you while you are in the valley, they can become midgets when you hand over to God. Stand with me.